Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you, Lord, in the house of our Lord this morning.
We thank you, Father, for this opportunity and this day, Lord, that you have given to us, Lord. And as we sang this one song this morning, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth, Lord, what hast thou to say to me, Lord? And I pray that each one of us could have that heart. And I pray for Dad here this morning as he brings forth the word, Lord, as he brings, Lord, to us what you have put on his heart. I just pray that you would bless him and give him strength, and, Lord, that he would speak what you have laid upon his heart, Lord, and help us to hear, Lord. We just commit this time into your hands, Lord, and just humbly ask you, Lord, to come and meet with us, and that your spirit would be here. In your precious name we pray.
Well, good morning. I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Blessing to be here already. Thank you, Brother Murr, for sharing those words. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. And we know that, as he talked about, a correct fear, it draws us near. It draws us near to the Lord Jesus, and I thank you for that. And as we look around, we see the people around us, the world, there's no fear. It seems like they're living in sin and they're enjoying it. But just say, thank God for this body here. There's a fear of God. And the fear of God is evident when you see them repenting of their sins and walking after the ways of the Lord Jesus. So praise the Lord for that. So it's a blessing to be here. See you all here this morning. Come out as brother shared, to worship together. To draw near and to walk together as the day is approaching. And for some it's sooner than others, but we know that one day the Lord Jesus will appear. This morning, I don't know why, I was just sitting and I was thinking, waiting on the message here this morning. I was just thinking about, as a snap of a finger, we're going to be from this life to the next. And as I shared with Jaden and Justin, what's that going to be like? That's toting for the saints. Beautiful. For the saints of God, it'll be a glorious time. But for those that are not ready to meet the Lord, it's going to be a terrible moment. Horrible. But as I was pondering that in my life, I was just thinking. I was thinking of me being, you know, passed from this life to this to the next life. And I was pondering, what's that going to be like? Excited me. You know, it's going to be no more pain, no more sorrow, more tears, more trials. So let's keep pressing on. We only have a few hours left. Well, I had a few messages today that seemed like I was thinking and praying about, I came to this one. After Marlon found out I was going to be preaching, he turned around and said, "Just preach the truth." I said, "Okay." So I felt led to preach on Jesus today. I just want to go through, if you allow me, just go through. It's going to be an elementary message. It's probably nothing that you haven't heard before, but as it stirred my heart, as I just went through here, as I read through the Gospels, I just stayed mainly in the Gospels. I took a part here from each Gospel. I'm just going to be sharing on his birth, and his walk on this earth, and his death, and his resurrection. Just going to go through and touch on some of these things. What he did made it possible for us to be reconciled back to God. And of 19 years of being a Christian, you know, we can all say that there has been a, I mean, I've been 19 years I've been a Christian. I can say there's been a dramatic shift or change among the society around us. I remember 20 years ago sharing, you know, there's people would acknowledge God, acknowledge Jesus. And more and more they are not acknowledging Jesus, let alone God. Just the other day we went somewhere and Rhett and I was standing beside the counter and this guy there standing there, and I just asked him, "So what do you think about Jesus?" And he goes, "What about him? Do you believe he's real?" "I don't think so." "What about God?" "I'm not sure." And that is being taught throughout the schools, and it's going to be increasing as we go on from here. And think about my grandchildren, my children. What's it going to take for us to, you know, to have our children, grandchildren, years down the road, having a fear, what Merv talked about, of the Lord Jesus Christ? And we can. But as us as fathers, as grandpas, whatever, they need to see Jesus in us. They need to see that Jesus worked for us when we took our last breath. They're going to need to see that we were in love with Jesus. And so I just want to go through here just to share a little bit on the life of Jesus, just some of the things he went through to for us that we could be reconciled back to the Father, if you allow me. But anyway, just the other day, I was talking about what we're facing, you know, as an acknowledgement of not God, an acknowledgement not even His Son, Jesus. I just seen an article, I was going through the news the other day a little bit, and I seen an article, Jesus is real. I believe in Him, I've been transformed, and I'm not backing down, so I just clicked on that. And here was a pop singer, which we can take whatever we want from this. She sung music, and I didn't see the picture of her. But she would have found Jesus in the last couple months. And she's telling her fans that He is for real. "I'm a born-again Christian now, and I don't know where she'll go at from here." But she said that she never drew so much criticism, so much harsh words from her fans ever on all the things that she shared throughout her last 15 years than what she shared with them the other day that she found Jesus. And it just, why is it? Why is it that the Jesus is hated? And we know why, right? But He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that is my title, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. I think it's the only religion that's being persecuted, as far as I know. There's no other religion. You can do whatever you want in any other religions, and you're fine. But when you start talking about this Jesus, you're persecuted, and you're dragged down. But anyway, she said that she don't care what it takes. She's not going to back down. She knows that He's real, and He did a work in her life. I didn't even look up what her name was. All I know is she's a pop singer. But she says that she lost many of her fans, and she said, I'm willing to quit singing, even if it comes to that. But why is there a hatred? like I shared, it's going to be like a simple message here this morning. But just to stir our love for Jesus, that's all this is for. Just to stir our love in a greater way, Jesus. You know, as the things that we talk about here, we go through. You know, we know that very likely no one in here will possibly ever be at a point, at a place where they won't believe in Jesus or God when they die. But it's very possible that some of us in here, you know, it's possible that some of us in here will believe and will acknowledge Jesus is the Son of God, but not have their heart right with God before they die. And I know I was there. I mean, for 30 years I walked and I believed that Jesus, I knew that he was the Son of God. I understood that, but I didn't believe, you know, His ways. For 30 years, I would have said, yeah, Jesus is Son of God, but I was a wicked sinner. I didn't believe. So this just help us to stir us up to encourage our children, our grandchildren, to what it takes, you know, to go through this life that we are pressing into as this wicked, perverse generation. So they're going to need to see that Jesus Christ is real in our life to go on from here. Of course, they have choices to make as well, their children, you know, to accept Jesus Christ as a Savior. But just to go on from here, I just want to share the first point of the birth of Christ. When was the first time that Jesus was mentioned in the Bible? Anybody know? I mean, I think this is what I got here is correct. But when is the first time he was mentioned? His word wasn't mentioned, but when he was mentioned of. Steve? Okay. Yeah, in Genesis here. I didn't find that one, but in Genesis 1, and God says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Let me go to 3:8 here. I'll read that one there as well. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Amen. "And the Lord God spoke unto Adam and said, Who art thou?" So from the beginning, Jesus was. And he was sitting at the Father's right hand already, way back. And we see that as he was experiencing the bliss of being with the Father. And that's what we all desire, to be with the Father for eternity. And here he was there. I don't know how it says forever past. He was there with God, and he was experiencing the blessing. 3:15. I'll read that there again. But he was experiencing the bliss of being there. He says, "And I will put intimacy between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise her head, and thou shalt bruise thy heel." Amen. So we see that from the beginning. And what I want to share on there is that, you know, he was willing to step from the throne to come, to come and die so that we could be reconciled back to God. He had to humble himself to come as a little baby. And we know that he's not there. He's not a baby in a manger anymore. But what does that do to you when you think of that? Thousands of years before Jesus come, he was prophesied also in the Old Testament, you know, that he was going to come in the Old Testament. And it did. It stirred in my heart as I thought about as he stepped from the throne to come. So the birth of Christ. Now let's go to Matthew 1, start on 18 here as well. It talks about the birth of Christ. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise, when as his mother Mary was exposed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou art the son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from his sins." This is the Jesus that he was sitting at the throne there when God said, "Us and our." I feel that that's who he was referring to. "Now all this was done, and it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till he had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." So we see here what was possible through that. We know that without the birth of Christ, I know that Jesus never points back to the birth, but without the birth of Christ, there would be no reconciling back to the Father. So this was all planned on coming up through this life as his death and resurrection. But I'll probably mention this a few times throughout this time, but when Jesus stepped away from the throne, he had you and I and all of us in best interests of mankind, of all mankind. He had us all in mind when he stepped away to he seen this sin-cursed world that was going to be destroyed through the Satan. And his Father had a plan. And as he looked down upon us, he was willing to come. Reconcile mankind back to his Father. You know, as I say, not as the world sees it, as Jesus in a cute little manger as a baby, and that's as far as it goes. He's still in there for many. And we know that he didn't stay there. He came as a baby. And he went forth. And we know that he never pointed back to his birth, not once at the birth. And we know without the birth that we would be in trouble. But as we go on from here in Matthew 2, it says, "But when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, the days of Herod the king, behold, there came the wise men from east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born, the king of the Jews? For we have seen this star to the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and Jerusalem was with him." I was supposed to just read two verses, but as we see here from the beginning, it says the enemy was seeking to kill Jesus. And it's the same enemy today that's seeking to destroy us from our spiritual life in Jesus Christ. So we see that from the beginning, the enemy was trying to snatch out Christianity, and today it's the same way. And it seemed like today he is doing a great job. For those that are walking outside the kingdom, he is deceiving them to the greatest deception. And that's my heart here today, that we would continue walking with Jesus Christ in a way that we would not be tempted. We would not be deceived by the enemy. And we know that as Jesus, as we read through here, as he overcame, also we all can overcome. And remember, this message just to stir us a little over what Jesus, what he done for us, and what he's yet doing for us, and what he's willing to do for us. So just... read this here. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus. And he came by the Spirit in the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him the custom of the law, they took him up in his arms and blessed God. And he said, Lord, now lettest thou my servant depart in peace according to thy word. My eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign they shall be spoken against." And Simeon shared there is this child is set for the fall and rising again, prophesying of his walk through this life and his death and his resurrection and all that. So as I see that, well, praise the Lord that we've seen the Lord, right? We have met the Lord. We have met Jesus. Let's not turn our eyes from him. Let's continue walking with him and just holding his hand as we go forth. So we see that he has come as a baby, and he was risen as he stepped down from the throne with mankind in mind. So just as we go from there, I just want to speak a little bit on Jesus' walk on this earth. And we know that he's not in the manger anymore. As he went on from here, we first read when he was 12 years old in Luke 2. And I just wrote down here, children, think of this. As we read this right here, Jesus was 12 years old when his parents lost him and they went back to the temple and they found him here, as they walked several miles back, as they realized that Jesus is not with them. So they went back and they found him in the temple. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, the Father and I have sought thee, sorrowing." We were scared. And he said unto them, "How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business?" And they understood him not, saying when he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was a subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings at heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So today, as we see that, he said that, "Know you not that I must be about my Father's business?" And brothers and sisters, are we not about our Father's business today? Are we not doing it? Do we not mind the things that are of God? These questions are for me as well. Are we about our Father's business, or what is life about for us? What are we doing in this life? What's the most important thing in this life? Is it Jesus? Are our children seeing that we are about Jesus' business? We are about our Father's business. Or is it about how much money we can make, or how much we can acquire possessions or whatever? Or I trust that it's about our Father's business today. I trust it is. In 52, it says that he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That blessed me with God and man. And I trust that we're pressing on toward the mark of the heavenly kingdom as well. It says that, you know, Jesus was not only God. I just wrote a little note here. He was also a fully man. Jesus was not only God, but he was also a fully man. As such, he was subject to the same kind of limitations that all humans being experienced. All human beings experience. Like any other child, he inherited the nature of his parents. He possessed not only the divine nature of his father, but also the human nature of his mother. He was in every respect human, except that he was without sin. And bless me. He says that he inherited the nature of his parents as well, the fleshly nature, and he overcame. So that should encourage us as he goes forth. He was in the flesh, as we are, and he overcame. Now, as he continues going here, it says that around age 30, Jesus seen in need of a baptism before his ministry consumes or continues. Here it says, "Now when all the people were baptized, and it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Ghost descended upon a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." So we see that as his ministry begins, he began to teach and to preach and et cetera, and on. But as we see, right in his life, his teaching and preaching begin. Here in Luke 4, he was brought up to the mountain, and the temptation of Jesus was great. There it says that, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he did not eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be made into bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, The man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Every word of God. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdom of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For this is the deliverer unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, it all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship thy Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So we see here that as we just talked about him being in the flesh of his mother, flesh. He was being tempted in the wilderness. What if he would have gave in? Today we'd be at a different place. So we see that as he was fighting through all this, he had a relationship with his Father, and he had us in mind as well. So that should draw our, that should excite us that when we're walking with the Lord Jesus, he will prevail and he will also keep us until the end. And he said that he brought him into Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto them, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give thy angels charge over thee to keep thee." And Jesus answered and said unto them, "It is said, thou shalt not tempt thy Lord thy God." So as we go from there, he continues on as he overcame that in the wilderness. And he went through, you know, a great temptation there. And as I think of that, right after we got born again, it seemed like Satan came at me hard as well. Can we relate to that? He comes at us, you know, it comes from loved ones or family or whatever. Satan telling us that we're not worthy to be a child of the King. You know, I know that we might not be, but we are worthy. I am a child of the King this morning. It says there in John, "Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." It was through Jesus Christ that we're made worthy. We are cleansed, and we are set apart. That we are overcomers is only through Jesus Christ. As he goes on, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus says, "because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And as he began to preach and teach and heal and show many miracles and forgive sins, interesting, his people called him a blasphemer, and he was about his Father's business. As he was going on, just for mankind in mind, reconciling us back to the Father, many rejected him. And we can relate to that as God was doing a great work in our lives. Then he went and he chose these six disciples to follow him. And it came to pass in those days, he went out into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, in whom he chose the 12. Peter and Andrew and James and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, and James, and Simon, then Judas. It says he came down with them, and he stood in the plain in the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of the people ran out of Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, and came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. But as he called out these 12, it says that as soon as he did that, he lifted up his eyes to his disciples, and he said, and this was the message of Christ as on earth, as he was walking on this earth. I'm going to read a few verses here. I think it's 29 verses here in Luke 6, starting on verse 20, if you want to turn to there. And just, this is the gospel. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is should be a part of our life as well. "And he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples, and he said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when ye hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." I know that normally when I read the Beatitudes, I always go to Matthew, but this I went to here, and these are just a blessing in a little different form. In 22 it says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did the fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto them that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. For so did the fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you, which Here, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And to him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away the cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away the goods, ask them not again. And as ye would not, and you would that men should do to you, do also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what think have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of them whom to hope to receive, what think have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be in the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure. Pressed down and shaken again, and running over, men shall give into your bosom. And for the same measure that ye may meet without, it shall be measured to you again. And he spoke a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they both not fall into the ditch? The disciple was not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why behold thou the mote that is in the brother's eye, but perceiveth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either, how can thou say to the brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thy eye, when thou thyself beholdest the beam that is thy own? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam of their own eye, then shalt thou clearly see to pull out the mote that is in a brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For the thorns and do not gather figs, nor a bramble brush gathers them grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth that which is good, and the eye man, and the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whatsoever cometh to me and heareth these sayings and doeth them, I will show you whom he be like. He is like a man that which buildeth a house, and he diggeth deep and layeth the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that withereth, is without a foundation built upon the earth. Again, when the stream did beat vehemently, immediately it fell, and the ruins of that house was great. So as we just read that, as he looked up to the disciples and he says, this should be your life. And we ponder that, this should be our life. That was his message throughout the whole gospel. And I know that I could go back and pick out many different verses to share on, skipping probably a lot that would have been fit in here. But this one here just blessed me. Is this our life right here? As he talks about loving our enemies, is our foundation built? And we know that this was a life of Jesus. He, as he shared these things here to the disciples, he didn't waver from these words. He lived this life. And what draws us to him, as I shared earlier, what's going to affect our children, what really blesses when we see the life of Jesus, he lived what he preached. Amen? He went to the death. When the last words was, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. He lived this out. And it blesses me. And in the same way, as that inspires me to serve him in a deeper way, that what inspires our children as well to serve him in a deeper way when they see Jesus being lived out in us. So just go on to his death there. John 16. So we see here at the end of Jesus' ministry on earth, he began to tell all of his disciples here what's going on, what's going to take place. And we know that all these disciples here, the 12 of them, have not received the Holy Spirit. None of them have been born again. So we see here, without Jesus Christ dying, we could not be reconciled back to God. At that point, neither of the 12, were saved at this point. But John 16 says, he started out, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think they do with God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." And he goes on and tells them about what's going to take place. In John 16:16, he says, "A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." And then some of the disciples among themselves, "What is this that he saith? A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, you shall not see me, because I go to the Father." And they did not understand, as he continued on the ministry here. But what blessed me here is, as he went into the garden here in John 17. I'm just going to read some of those verses here. I'm not sure how many. But starting on one, as Jesus, he had a burden for his disciples, for mankind. And that was for us ages down the road. "When these words spake Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may be glorified thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." It's a message here. That's the only purpose in his life that he walked through, that mankind, that we would know Jesus Christ and the Father. "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished thy work, which thou hast given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, which the glory which I have with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me. They have kept the word. Now, they have not known that all things whatsoever they given to me are thee." And he goes on, continues on a prayer in a garden, and he says in verse 16, "They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them." He told the Father, "Sanctify them through thy truth. And what is the truth? Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into this world, even so I have also sent them into this world. And for their sakes I have sanctified myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth." He says, through their sakes I sanctified myself, through us. This was the whole purpose of Jesus Christ coming from heaven to earth. It was for us. It was for man to be reconciled, that we could see the Father. We see that Jesus' love and burden for his disciples and for us as mankind was so great that he knows there was no turning back now. There was no turning back. As he goes on, verse 18, the betrayal and the arrest of Jesus Christ. Just keep in mind here that as Jesus is facing this, he is in the flesh as we are, but yet without sin, it says. "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with the disciples over the brook of Cedron. There was a garden into which he entered, and the disciples also. And Judas also, which betrayed him, he knew the place. For Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples." Judas then, having received the band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all the things that should come unto him, he went out to meet them, and he said unto them, "Whom seek ye?" They answered and said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said, "I am he." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, "I am he," they went backwards, and they fell to the ground. Then they stood up, and they asked him again. But when they stood up, he asked them, "Who do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth. And I have told thee that I am he, If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. So let the disciples go their way. Here I am. That it might be fulfilled, which he had spoken of them, which thou givest me, have I lost none. Would we, or are we willing, to be dragged to the cross for the loss of the dying around us? Would we be willing to give ourselves, offer ourselves up for the dying and the lost people around us? And praise God that Jesus was. He was willing to do that, because as we just read here, as they asked, who do you seek? And they said, Jesus. He said, here I am. He knew what he was going to go through. He knew the cup that he was going to have to bear. He knew the beatings. He knew the stripes and the thorns. He knew all that, but he was yet willing. And it stirred my heart when I read that. He was yet willing and had me in mind, had you in mind when he went through this. And yet, as I talked about, the disciples, as they were walking with Jesus and yet have not received the power. And it says that Simon Peter followed Jesus. And it talked about here how he denied him three times through this right here. And they all forsook him. And when one of them said, Jesus, we'll go to you even to your death, we will go with thee. And they walked with him 3 years or more. But yet they had not the Spirit of God. So we see in the purpose of Jesus going this walk, teaching and preaching, and going to the cross to die so that the Holy Ghost could come, so we could have victory over these things. Because these men here, that the disciples, they had not the Holy Spirit. They had not been born again. And they all forsook him before he made it to the cross. Then they took him up to the before Pilate. They led Jesus from the Cepheus into the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went into them and said, what accusation bring you against this man? And they said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, would we not deliver him to thee? Then Pilate said unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. They was trying to find fault into Jesus, and he was without fault. Ponder that. He was without fault. Then the saying of these Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he should die. And Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and he called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, saying, thou sayest of thyself, or did others tell you thee of me? And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thy own nation and thy chief priests had delivered thee into me. What hast thou done? His own people delivered Jesus to be crucified because they hated the truth. They hated what Jesus had to offer. And we see that today. Many people are living in sin. They're defiled because they hate light. They love darkness rather than light. And here Jesus was willing to go through all this so he could reveal that true light for me and you. Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. Now is my kingdom not from thence. And Pilate said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one of you, every one that is of the truth, heareth my voice. As they was trying to find fault in Jesus Christ so they could crucify him, he was faultless before his Father. They found no guile in him, who became sin for us, who knew no sin. Perfect. Then Pilate said unto them, what is truth? And he said, and when he had said thus, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you of the Passover. Will you therefore that I release you the king of the Jews? And they cried all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. And they released Barabbas. And we see here that they had him here, they was going to crucify him. On verse 19, it talks about as they led him to the cross, to the cross. They delivered him to, therefore, to be crucified. Just a little bit here on the crucifixion yet, and what this meant for mankind. They delivered him, therefore, into the crucifixion, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of skull, which is called the Hebrew Golgotha. When they crucified him, two others with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And the title then read many of the Jews, for this place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And we know some of his last words that he shared here. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the Holy Ghost. How can this happen? Whom Jesus was all about healing, compassion, loving. He was all about others, about the souls of men, about the lost and dying around us. He was about us being all mankind, being reconciled back to God, as we read his teaching and his preaching throughout the scriptures. I mean, many verses that I skipped. He wept for men. It said Jesus wept, and that was when one died that he had compassion on. But yet, it was about the salvation of mankind. It was about the interests of them. And here they took him to the cross. And they thought, how can that happen? And it's because they love their sinful lives. They love darkness rather than light. And he wrote, thank you, Jesus, for the love that you had for our souls, that you were willing to go to the cross for our sins, that we don't have to go to hell. He wrote, that's the love of Jesus. Now here, as they hung him on here, and he took his last breath, and he said, it's finished. According to the Jews, Pharisees, scribes, and all the heathen, they finally took care of this blasphemer by crucifying him up on the tree, up on that cross. And we know that there in at that point, I don't know where it says there in Ephesians that he when he took his last breath there on the tree and the cross, he was on the, maybe I'll just turn to that. They think that they finally conquered this blasphemer, and here he was. I don't know when he did that, but he ascended to the depths of the earth to set the captives free. But every one unto us is given the grace according to the measure of gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, I don't know if this was the time or not, but almost I tie this in there that, but he ascended. He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended to the same also ascended far above all things, that he might fill all things. And we see that before the death of Christ, it says that both the lost and the saved went to Hades. They went to holding place. Though it was divided into the place of torments and paradise of God, also called Abraham's bosom. When Jesus hung on the cross, he consoled the penitent thief that he might be in paradise with Christ on that day. And he went and he released the saints from Abraham's bosom. Here they thought they took care of this blasphemer. And he was still about his Father's business, saving, redeeming precious souls. In Mark 15, and Jesus cried with a loud voice, and he gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion stood over against them, when he saw that, he cried out, and he gave up the ghost. He said, truly this man was the Son of God. Truly this man was the Son of God. And here they see the Jews and the Pharisees and the scribes, the problem only got bigger as the centurion said this man was the Son of God. And just when the time that they thought that Jesus was taken care of, he was dead. Here he was. They could not contain Jesus Christ. He has risen triumphantly from the grave and is sitting at the Father's right hand, interceding for us. And wrote, praise God. And in Mark 16, 1 there, it says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, Salome, and brought 7 spices that they might come and anoint him. But when they got there to the tomb, there's wondering who was going to roll away that door. When they looked, they seen the stone was rolled away. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right hand, on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth. He was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where you laid him. But go your way and tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. And he said unto you. And they went away quickly. Now when Jesus was risen, early that day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, and out of whom he have cast the 7 devils. And when she went and told the things which with them, as they mourned and wept, and they, when they had heard that he was alive, and have seen of her, they believed not. And after he had appeared in another form unto 2 of them, as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told into the residue, neither believed they them. And then it says he came and he met with the 11 disciples here. He appeared before them and he said unto them, go ye into the world. And this is the message to us today. Go ye into this world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and they shall drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands of the sick, and they shall recover. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon them as he resurrected from the grave. And we know that if it would only stop with the birth and the death of Christ, which all that need to happen, but the verse says, if we have hope only in this life, we are most men of miserable. If he would never resurrected out of the grave, we'd be the most men of miserable in this life, as it says there in Corinthians. But Jesus' death made it possible for us to be reconciled back to God. His resurrection, I mean, back to God, whomsoever may come, come, Jesus says. And we see here in Acts, if we go over there as they're waiting, as they're, he told them to go and wait. Find this here. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father which he had heard of me. For John truly baptized with water. He told the disciples, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, what the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. As we see that when they were in the upper room, the day of the Pentecost, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all those that were sitting. And they appeared unto them a cloven tongue like a fire, they set upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And I just praise God that the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in Acts there, as they got born again, and they started teaching and preaching everywhere they went, as Jesus told them in verse 8 in Acts 1, until every one of them were martyred, they faithfully endured. We can truly say that the disciples loved Jesus until death. Jesus was real in their lives. Is Jesus real and alive in us? Is He burning in our hearts as He did for those two that walked the 7 miles on the road to Emmaus? And I ponder that as they were walking and talking, and Jesus, those two men, and Jesus came up beside them and He walked with them for 7 miles and they talked. And they mentioned, it says, did our hearts not burn? When He departed, He broke bread and He departed. To inspire our children, grandchildren, on. First of all, they must see that Jesus is in us. The power of the Holy Spirit is working in us and through us. And that we love Jesus. Jesus is real. He's coming back. And he has a place for each and every one of us. Let's not miss that. And I know this message was elementary message, but I just wanted to just go through here again, just remind us the love of Jesus that provoked us. You know, you think of the verse that, one of the first verses that provoked me toward Jesus was when I learned that, first verse I ever learned, I think, that we love Him because He first loved us. That's the first verse that Jaden learned, and some of the boys, my grandchildren. Think about that. We love Him because He first loved us. While we were yet in our sin, it was His love that drew us to Him. Just want to encourage us to stay in love with Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Savior, until He returns to take us home. May Jesus be real in our lives when we go to workforce or wherever it may be. That people can see that Jesus is in us, working through us, as two of the disciples. They could see that Jesus was with them. So like I said, just a message to encourage us that Jesus is still about salvaging souls today. His love is still the same as it was for the disciples. For us, if we open our hearts and allow Him to grab our hand, may we reach to His hand, allow Him to lead us into eternal life. He will gladly do that. That's His whole mission, as we read. It's the whole mission for us to be reconciled. That's why He came. So God bless you. I just want to encourage you with that.